we serve an amazing God, do we not? Amen. No matter what you're facing today, you might say, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm facing. I know the one that does. I know the one that does. And his word says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So no matter what we're facing, we don't want our circumstances to dictate our lives. Amen? We don't want someone's word that speaks negative over us to dictate our lives. We're no longer a slave to fear. The fear of man, the fear of the unknown, the fear of sickness, the fear of problems. We're no longer a slave to that. Amen? Because greater is he that is in us. Now we can stand free and we can say, you know what? It's not fair. And that life is tough. It's hard. I don't like where I'm at. But, the great I am is with me. And if God be for me, who and what could be against? Every tragedy, every crisis has two sides to it, depending on your and my response. And we can turn it into an opportunity for the Lord to shine bright. I just encourage you, when you're going through something, don't keep it to yourself. And that, call a brother and sister in the Lord. Call upon the elders to lay hands upon you. And that, why? So that we don't keep the glory of God to ourselves. Because when you pray, and you don't let anyone know, and you pray, and God answers your prayer, because we know God answers, amen? Then what's happened is you've got a real dancing moment, an excitement moment of what God has just done. But you've robbed the glory of God shining through to everyone else around. That's why the Bible says we are better together. That's why it says to share, to cast your burdens on the Lord. It talks about that whole part of confessing your faults, your sins, one to another. It talks about that part of sharing one to another. Why? So that the glory of God can shine. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And if we're not inviting, and that's why I really encourage in your prayer time, and this is why so many Christians have adopted the world's view. And we've been talking about changing and shifting our worldview from the worldview to God's kingdom view in the way God handles things. So many times even Christians say, oh, well, that was coincidence, or that was luck, or wow, that was really cool. Man, I'm really, oh, that was awesome. I like that. And the problem is we're not linking an asking. So when the answer comes, all of a sudden we're not able to link it back to anything because we're not asking him. Turn everything into prayer and petition and bring it before the Lord. When worry comes up, change it right away. Change it right around into a prayer to God. And then when God answers, man, you're going to be on your dancing shoes and get excited again. It's time to celebrate again. But the problem is it's hard to celebrate when we don't know where the answers are coming from. It's hard to really celebrate when we're not lifting it up to him. So I just really encourage you, as we move ahead, you'll hear the echo over and over again that we are better. We're family. You might not choose the person you're sitting around. You might not choose someone on this side of the church or on that side of the church, but God chose them. And he knew they were exactly what you need in your life right now to become all that God called you to be. Amen? Oh, I hope we all can become friends. Amen? But I didn't come to pastor because I hope everyone's my friend. I came to pastor because God said, hey, there's something good here. There's something going to take place. And he called and asked Christina and I to come to be a part of what is happening here. Why? Because we need Owen Sound. We need you guys in our life so that we can become all that God wants us to be. And you need Christina and I in your life so that you can become all that God wants you to be. Amen? We're family. You didn't know you had a crazy brother and that short hair one day, curly hair the next day, big beard one day, no beard the next day. I mean, change is just a part of my life. And you didn't realize that you had a crazy cousin or whatever, but you do. His name's Phil. Amen? We're family. God wants to renew our mind around that. If you came in today, hopefully you received a little booklet that looks just like this, although without all the writing on it. okay? Looks like this. I'd like you to pull it out. If you do not have one as a couple or as an individual, if you can put your hand up, the ushers have a bunch and they'll come to you right now because we're going to take some time and just talk a little bit about who we are. Amen? So if you don't have one, just put your hand up and the ushers will come right to you. Anyone that's needing one that doesn't have one? We need one up front here, Casey. Up front, Casey. Anyone else that doesn't have, we need one in the middle here too. Do you need one too yet? One in the middle here. Anyone else? Yep, right over here. Anyone else not have one? I'm really strategically making sure that everyone gets one here, and we're going to have these available. Why? Because this is the very heartbeat of who we are. And we're going to walk through it today to help us connect together. Amen? How many know clarity is a good thing? Amen? Clarity is a good thing. Amen? And God placed that word on my heart when the first day I came in here, he kept saying that to me, and I've been speaking it to the leadership team over and over. Hey, we just got to get clarity. We got to get clarity. We got to get clarity as we move ahead. And so, if you're with me, we're just going to take a few moments. We're not going to open it yet here. I'm going to start right on the first page because there's a couple things I want to mention there. But we've been talking about this idea of a biblical worldview. Not the world's view that we've grown up with, because we need our minds renewed. Amen? We have unintentionally and intentionally, consciously and subconsciously adopted a lot of the world's ways into our thinking. And then we get frustrated as Christians because we're taking on the world's ways and the flesh and the spirit, they don't work together. It's like oil and water. They just don't mix. It's the same thing. God's ways and the world's ways, they just don't mix. When we take God's ways and we plump it into our life because we're in this world, we're not of it, but we're in it, all of a sudden we can be game changers. We can begin to shift everything around us. Instead of being infected, we can now start to be the ones that change things around us. I don't know about you, for a long time in church, and listen, again, just so to help people understand a little bit, because if you're new here, my name is Pastor Phil Smith. I've been in church. I was born on the front pew of the church. I've gone through church. I've been in many different churches in many different capacities. I understand how to fake it to make it. I understand how to play church. I understand what it smells like. I know the problems we can have in church. I understand those things. And I guess something in my heart is just settling to the part is that I'm not content with playing anymore. I'm not content with just doing church. I want to be the church. And so we want to help people understand what that means. We want to help people understand what God is calling us to. Our problem is that we know a lot about the Bible and God, but we don't live the theology that we know. We read a lot, we know a lot, but what we say and what we do doesn't always line up. Amen? Hey, I'm speaking to myself here. I'm not pointing any fingers at anything. And God is just challenging my heart. And he's challenging us as a leadership to call us a little higher. All that we know hasn't transformed us, really. Oh, it has a little bit, but there's parts that we're not letting him in on. You know, when God talks about us being healed, it's not just physical healing. Because Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead, is now dead. Right? He's not walking around here. So when God heals you, your physical body, he says man is appointed and destined to die once. God's will is no one will die twice. The second is our rejection of Christ, not embracing him. The second death is hell. It's a real place. I don't fully understand it all, but it's definitely somewhere I don't want to go, and I don't want anyone else to go. Amen? We can just agree with that. Amen? He's appointed us to die once. So when God heals our body, when God touches our body, there's a reason behind it. It's to ignite you to realize God's alive, but it's also to ignite everyone else to know that, wow, everything is subject to God. Everything has to bow its knee to him. Oh my goodness, cancer is a small C. Christ is a big C. And they start to get the picture through your life as a living testimony, as a trophy for Christ. Your faith is never defined by what you believe. It's only fully defined by what you live. Let's look at the very front there. You'll see a new branding of the church. You see that logo change? I wrestled with God for almost about a month because the side of Phil that's grown up in church, anytime you have a cross, you never take a cross out of anything. And our old logo had a little cross in the middle of the leaf. And I wrestled literally for a month with God on this. And I said, oh God, I can't do this. I can't do this. And this is what God's spoken in my heart. So I'm just going to share what he placed in my heart. And that is we've rebranded, and that on purpose. Amen. He said to me, he says, Phil, I said, oh God, I can't take out the cross. Oh my goodness. Well, like that's like everything. He says, absolutely it is. That is ground zero. That is the starting point for all of us. But too many people have camped there and they've forgotten that even my last words were, I need to go. But if I go, I will send the Comforter. I will send Holy Spirit, and he will guide you and lead you, and that he will help you to accomplish all that I have. And I felt like God said, absolutely, we are not taking the cross out of anything. That is our ground zero. When you trip up and fall down, you come right back to the cross, and you bend down at the cross and say, God, I surrender to you again. Forgive me. And then you get back up. You say, Holy Spirit, help me to move forward now. And so God put on my heart as the cross is ground zero, but the only way forward for us is Holy Spirit. And if we want to move forward, then we need Holy Spirit, hence the flame. Fire is one of the symbols in Scripture about Holy Spirit, and then the leaf is about new life. The old, oh my goodness, I just slipped my head. The old has gone, and the new has begun. I'm slipping on this scripture right now. The old is gone, and the new has begun. In Corinthians, it says that there is a new life that's found in him. I want to read a little excerpt from a book from our general superintendent, Dave Wells. He forwarded. This comes from one of our pastors in our West, and he writes this. The danger of playing it safe. Although there was no formal statement when I joined the pastoral staff in 1990, the vision statement that was generally adopted and accepted was, our best days are behind us. If we can recreate the past, we'll have hope for the future. We played it safe by doubling down on yesterday for a decade. This was the least contentious course of action. Our efforts helped stem the tide of decline, but not enough to overcome reality. Edmonton was rapidly changing, growing bold, prevailing congregations had built spacious, attractive facilities in the suburbs between 1990 and 99. Congregants with young children were no longer willing to drive by new neighborhood churches to commute to a tired facility that served yesterday well. What we needed was revelation, not perspiration. We could have taken an alternate course of action by playing it safe and staying in place. We may even have survived for another 5 or 10 years. But hanging on to the past, just because we were successful in the past, would have cost us our future. We don't want to play it safe. We want to risk. We want to see what he's got for us. I don't know if you've read in your bulletin there about the little bit of the update of youth and the prayer. We're hitting somewhere around 30, and if everyone comes, there could be even 40 youth out. When's the last time that's happened? It's been a long time. Kids. We got more kids now. God is shifting things. He's shifting things. He's growing. Why? Because we're not going to play it safe. And so as we look towards what God is sharing with us, I just need to start by saying, as I've looked through a lot of the past history, I've heard one thing and read one thing that is continuity between our beginnings to now in the DNA of Rockcliffe. The DNA of Rockcliffe is that Rockcliffe has always been a regional influencer. Pretty much every Pentecostal work in this region came out of Rockcliffe. We just heard our youth are heading to Southport. Well, they're going to have their 100th year in, I think it's 1919. And that's a work that got planted from the pastor's wife of this church. She had it on her heart for that area that she just couldn't shake. So she'd get onto her horse, and she would ride her horse from here to Southport, Port Elgin. Can you just imagine? That's a little bit of a jaunt for a car, let alone a horse. She would hold services, and then she'd come back. Constantly doing that until God birthed something and rearranged, and now we have Southport Church. God has used Rockcliffe from the very beginning DNA as a regional influencer. We are bigger than ourselves. You're being called to something bigger here at Rockcliffe. And I know that's why most are here, is because God's stirring stuff into your heart that there's got to be more. There's something more to this. To be kingdom-minded. Prophetic word, and that's been spoken over the church. I've shared it a couple times already. You can find it in Luke chapter 3, verse 4 and 6. And this is what it reads. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in. Every mountain and hill will be made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation. I just left New Life Assembly in a prophetic word that was spoken over that house, and that was God was like a 747 jet, and he's circling around, and he's looking somewheres for somewheres to land. He's looking for somewheres to land his glory, to release his glory, so that salvation might reach to everywheres. I simply want to say, I believe that's here at Rockcliffe. I believe that regional DNA that God placed in here has never left this place. And I think that God wants us to pull together a little bit more, to get focused so that we can become game changers in this region. There's something bigger than you and me that God's wanting to do here. And so I want to call you up to that. I want to encourage you in that as we move along. So we come to our mission statement on the front page for a second. Our mission statement when I first came was growing in loving God, others, and serving all. I was praying about it. I said, God, that's a really good one I can run with. That's exciting. You know, I mean, that idea of loving and the serving, I mean, that's the core values in my heart. And then this is what God placed in my heart. He says, Phil, as a church and you, as a pastor, you've been asking a lot of me. I want to ask a little more of you. And growing in loving God, loving others, and serving all is a pretty comfortable thing that we can slide into and we can get into the rhythm of. And God is saying, you know what? I actually want you to be bolder. I actually want you to believe for something more than that. And so God gave me three words. And this is our mission statement. This is where we're going to run. And that is to restore, to relate, and to release. We'll explain it in just a few moments as we get into the booklet. But God's given us a focus He's given us a purpose. He's given us a North Star so that we know where we're headed, that there's something more to what God is calling us to, and that than just loving. Yes, love needs to be the core of everything we are, but he's calling us to something just a little bit more, that we'll actually believe that when people come into our building, they will never leave the same. Amen? When they come into our building, they will not leave the same. But we're going to set it up in a way that when they come in, Holy Spirit's going to have free reigns here to be able to touch their life, transform, to restore them so that they can come into relationship with him. Whatever it is that's blocking the life that we would move into. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 3 says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits the appointed time. It speaks of an end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. God's really challenging my heart, and that he really wants us to live on purpose. So if you flip the page, we're not going to read through the whole booklet. You can do that. But I do want to bring a couple things in here because we put it into a package that we're going to use from this day forward for anyone that is not a member of Rockcliffe that would like to be a member and join into what God is doing. We've set it up in a neat packet so that you can grab that. This is where we'll teach from to help everyone be able to connect together. I'm just going to read two things off of my little letter that I've written. The first part is, I just want to make it really clear. Membership has no relationship to being a member of the kingdom of God. Signing a paper with Rockcliffe has zero to do with your salvation, okay? I just need to say that out loud because so many people get confused over all of this stuff, and I'm just telling you now, it has zippo to do with being saved. Amen? Can I get a better amen? Amen. Okay? It's not to do about that at all. What it is to do about is simply two things. We live in a country, beautiful country, called Canada. And in Canada, we are a democratic society. And so in the society that we live, there's rules and orders that goes down. And in the country we live, they say, as a church, we need to have a membership because we write charity tax receipts and we don't pay tax on our building. And we all said amen to that one because we all know how much we pay taxes on our houses. Can you imagine what we would pay here? I'm sure it would be close to $40,000 or $50,000 on taxes for our two lands and our place. And the government says, we love Rockcliffe so much, we don't want them to pay tax. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen? They say, you know what? We love people, the church so much, and they love to give. We just love that they love to give. We want to give them back a part of what they give. So every dollar you give, the government gives you back a percentage of that dollar. And that you give, they say, we just love the hearts of Rockcliffe that we just want to give back to them. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we just need to renew our thinking on this stuff, right? Bible says that we are to honor those in authority, right? So in that part is because we do those things. Now listen, let me pause just because some people get a little bent on that. The government of Canada has not asked us to do anything that would be contrary to the word of God. They haven't asked us anything yet that's contrary to the word of God. Oh, they're doing crazy things, of course, but they're not asking the church any of that. So the Bible simply tells us that our whole heart and our position is obedience. Right? Submission. That's an attitude of the heart towards our government. It's supposed to be love. It's supposed to be, we're going to pray for you. We're for you. Might not agree with everything, but because you're in place, we believe God has put everyone in place. I don't know why I'm going down this road, but someone maybe needs to hear this. And that God says in Romans chapter 13, he puts everyone in place. So whether you were fond of what happened in the South with Trump or not, doesn't matter. He's in. So guess who put him in? God. If we believe he's in control, then God did. So when you speak ill of him or listen to being ill and you don't say, whoa, you know what? We should just be praying for him. you're actually partnering with the enemy, not with God. What we say, what we do, God is saying he wants to bring them in alignment. Amen? So in that part, as we walk through this and we realize membership is really on the signing of the paper is for our government. That's it. On the other side is really membership for the leadership of the church. Just helps us understand to say, oh, Sally's on board with us. Great. We can count on Sally. So let's walk together. Amen? That's as simple as it is. It's nothing more than that. In honesty, though, so you hear my heart, if someone, after 6 months, doesn't take membership, then if the truth is on this side, oh, Sally's just saying she's on board, then if Sally doesn't, then it's, well, Sally's saying she's not on board. That there's something that either she doesn't like, doesn't understand, or maybe Sally, this isn't the church God's called her to, and she's resisting him. I'm pretty blunt, and I'm so forgive me for this, but it's true. Either God has called us to be together, or he's not. And if he's called us to be together, then why would we resist each other? If we need clarification, let's ask clarification. Let's walk through. I know, I remember, I grew up in church. I understand how everything works. And when I grew up, I remember, you listen, you believe what we say, you do what we say, and you smell like us, you act like this, everyone's got to dress the same, everyone's got to do this. I've been through that age and time. But that's not what God's asking. It's in our diversity that we become great. Because in our differences of who we are, none of us are the same. I hope no one tries to look like someone or act like someone apart from Jesus. Amen? That's our eyes are fixed on him. And nowhere's in this part, and you'll get this part on membership coming out, is that I can't be naive enough to expect in a room this size, we're going to agree on everything. There's some things we're just going to learn to agree to disagree on. Amen? So in the booklet, what we've put together is our statement of faith, and we put together where we're going and who we are as a church to help everyone understand that. And really, the simple thing is, when we come in agreement as members, it's not that we agree on everything. For instance, think of end times. How much division is over end times? Yet end times, no one has a sweet clue how it's all going to unfold. Everyone thinks they do. But even John, when he's writing it, he's trying to explain things and he's using phrases that how do I even express this? I've got no words for it, and he's trying so hard. So whether it's pre-trib, in other words, before the tribulation all happens, that God, Jesus comes back and takes us home, or it's in the middle of it, or it's at the end of it, does it really matter that much that would cause us not to be friends and not to partner together? Now, if we're talking whether Jesus is the way, the truth, or life, woo, that's a non-negotiable. Amen? But some of the other things, they're not as big as we want them to be. And we have to follow the conviction in our heart. And so this is where it really what it comes to is when we sign that paper, we're saying not that we maybe agree with everything, but that we're agreeing we're not going to teach opposite to it. Because God doesn't like division. So we can believe different, but we're going to agree not to teach opposite to it. Right? Because we want to see health. We want to see a connection. So when it comes to that area, whoa, I don't know, we just don't say anything. And that as we grow and we move together. Why? Because you know what? Any scripture you pull out, I can promise you there's at least two or three that'll have a different opinion in this room. It's human nature. We're all trying to grasp this together. I wish it was as concrete as we all say it is. But not everything's as concrete as we think, amen? And that because as much as someone says, well, sure it is, look at this scripture, and then someone else says, well, how about this scripture and this? Well, God's not a schizophrenic. He knows what he's doing. He's not divided in himself. So there's obviously purposes and reason in scripture that sometimes he gives us both sides. And he says, okay, you got to make a decision, but here's the picture. And so as a Pentecostal church, and that we've put together a statement of faith that we've come alongside of, that we'll, it's in this book that we want to share. Last part is our core operating principle here at Rockcliffe is going to be is that the message always stays the same, period. But the method changes regularly. It's on my letter. It's the fourth paragraph down. Too often in churches, the message changes and the method remains the immovable. We change the message thinking that we change what the word says, change everything because we want to fit culture. That's not what's going to happen here at Rockcliffe. The word of God is everything. And we are not going to bend the word. We are going to bend ourselves to it. But the method, how we reach and how we do, that can change all the time. Because that's not the gospel. The gospel message is the word of God. And our promise is that that will not change. If you flip over to the next page, I'm not going to go through the whole idea of is church membership scriptural or not. You can read it there. All the scriptures are there, the reasons in behind it, the purpose, the reason why membership is, what are the qualifications of membership. If you flip the next page, how do you become a member? Well, the basic beliefs of Rockcliffe. Those are all just there, and you can read through them, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but if you have any questions as we're walking through, I just encourage you to come and talk to us. But that'll help explain and kind of debunk some of the ideas that, oh, if I get membership in the church, then I get entrance into heaven. It's not salvation. Amen? Right? If I get membership in the church, I get all of these bonuses that I can have. Well, the government tells us that as a member, you cannot have benefits. That's a big ouch. Now, is that going against the word of God? No. But 30 years ago, if you were a member of the church, you wanted to have a birthday party at the church, well, you just showed up at the church and opened up a room and had a birthday party. Well, today that's not something we can do because the government has declared that as members you can't have benefits. So if we have it open for someone to have a birthday party, we have to have it open for everyone to have a birthday party. Right? So the only way around that is that that birthday party becomes a Rockcliffe birthday party that we invite all of Rockcliffe to. And if we invite all of Rockcliffe, then anyone can have a birthday party here. But if we don't invite Rockcliffe and it's just a hand-picked few, well, then the government says that's benefits. You see, we live in a different world than we did 20 years ago. And whether we like it or we don't like it, the government is still not asking us to sin. And so therefore, God says we need to honor those in authority. So we change. Our method changes all the time. And we rearrange and we rework and we move in this way and that way. But if we don't, then what happens is we get stuck. God doesn't want us to be stuck. He wants us to grow and he wants us to move. I know I may be sharing things that are like, oh my goodness, I never knew that. I really encourage you to come to our annual business meeting. I promise you, it won't be 45 minutes. You'll have to forgive me on that. Or an hour. It might be a couple hours, but I promise you, you will understand. You will understand our books. You will understand where we're at and what's happening. We have a few things that are pretty pressing ahead of us that we need all of our members here for, and that we need to talk about, and we need to move together with, and that as we grow so that we can get our foundation together. So I really encourage you, don't miss out on February 26th. If you're here today and say, well, hey, I'm a part of Rockcliffe, but I'm not a member yet, come out, make sure you're here so you can hear the discussion and what's going on. If you flip to the next page, page 7, what is the larger organization? Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church is a part of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. The POC was formed as a result of a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the beginning of this century. Rockcliffe's clear goals are to preserve purity of mission, purity of doctrine, and purity of ministry. The POC recognizes that Rockcliffe Pentecostal Church is committed to spreading the gospel to the whole world. The body of believers that make up Rockcliffe purpose to participate in the threefold ministry of the church. The church is really here for three major reasons, and that's where our mission statement is coming out of. Number one is the ministry of reconciliation. God's wanting us to restore, always looking for the best and drawing up the best and bringing out the best. And that's what God's calling us to, is to restore. Second is the ministry to the Lord and to the body of Christ. That's the relate. And then the ministry to the world in reaching the lost. That's the release. You can see all about POC and what we're about and who we're connected and what we're doing. We're part of an amazing fellowship. If I can just bring one clarity to that, we're not a denomination. The POC doesn't tell us where to spend our money, what to do, what to speak, where to go. They don't do that because we're part of a fellowship together. We're a family. And if you need a good picture of that, it would be like our grandfather. You know, and I know it'd be pretty bad if the grandmother or grandfather came into the house of their son or their daughter and started telling them what to do and how to raise their kids, and you need to do this and you need to do that. That'd be a pretty mess of a place, wouldn't it? But our grandfathers and grandmothers usually come in with a mitt full of candy in their pocket, get the kids all loved up and help them and give some wisdom and give some guidance and some help, and then they leave saying, "Whew, I'm so tired. I've had enough now," and they leave. And then mom and dad still kicks in, and they raise the kids and they lead. So we're part of a great fellowship. You want to read that page so you can get to know a little bit more of who we are. Let's flip the page, and we're going to spend most of our time here, and we've got just a few moments left, on our vision statement. Our vision statement is we're a people committed to Jesus Christ, to consistent growth, to unity within the body, and to loving, living, and declaring Christ and His Word through the power of Holy Spirit in our world. This is what we hope to be. We hope to be that. This is our North Star. We hope to be a people that are committed to Jesus, sold out radically. He's not looking for fans. Fans get excited when the team wins. But when the team's not winning, fans pack it up. But God's wanting followers of Him. Ones that would just radically say, "You know, God, sink or swim, I'm going in. God, you've done so much in my life. I can't withhold anything from You. Freely I have received. Freely I'm going to give." So this is what we hope to be, as a people that are committed to Jesus, to consistent Christian growth, to unity within the body. That's a big one. God dwells in unity. It's okay to disagree on things, but how we do it, that's important. It either attracts God or it just pushes Him out. And how we respond one to another, because we are family, right? We're family. And so as we walk through that, we learn it. To unity within the body, to loving, living, and declaring Christ and His Word through the power of Holy Spirit in our world. That's going to be and it breaks it down, gives you scripture, gives you a little bite size of what those phrases mean. Coming into our mission statement, this is why we exist. We exist to restore, we exist to relate, and we exist to release. And it breaks it down to help you understand that. Why? Because we believe we're better together. And it gives you the scriptures, and it breaks it down in a way. And you think about that part of relate for a moment, if I pause for a minute. If all I ever did was celebrate good things in my life, highlights in my life, how many know between the highlights, there's some valleys, there's some deserts, there's some dry spells. Amen? between my highs with God? And if I'm just living off of the celebration moments in my life, sometimes it can be pretty hard for me to keep focused and keep walking. But God's brought us together so that we can start to celebrate off of each other's stories. So we're in continuous mode of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because when we can come into the place that we can celebrate someone else that's getting ahead, someone else that's getting blessed, someone else that's getting touched, someone else that got a healing, maybe we wanted it, but they got, all of a sudden it just starts to unlock something amazing. Because we learn then that in little or in a lot, we learn to be content. And we begin to celebrate anything we can. We don't have to wait for someone's birthday. We don't have to wait for a special occasion. But if we look around and we listen to each other's stories and what God has been speaking and doing, there's 1,000 things to celebrate all the time. The enemy is just not wanting us to make the connections. Let your fingers do the walking like the Yellow Pages little symbol and make a call to each other. Develop that friendships. Get to know the soldier in Christ next to you, because you never know when you fall down and you might need them. Amen? And we need to learn to relate better together as we grow and we move. And release. If I just say one phrase on this, is that as a pastor, I will fail if I do everything. I'm not meant to pray for everyone. I'm not meant to visit everyone. I'm not meant to do everything around this church. If I do, according to Scripture, I'll fail. My call as a minister, everyone likes these parts, to edify and encourage, and I'm supposed to do that. But the Bible tells me I'm to correct and rebuke. I'm to draw up. I am to edify and encourage, but it's all for one purpose. And that's to release people into their callings, release people into the work of the ministry. You are the ministers, not just me. You're the ministers, and God's placed you at your workplace. He's placed you in your family. He's placed you in your place that you live on purpose. And he's brought the people around you on purpose. And we're going to help you to find your giftings and release you into those callings that God has called you to. So our goal with the Holy Spirit help is to restore that which is broken, to deliberately and purposely help individuals relate to God and with the body, and to release hope-filled people into their God-given purpose. That's really what we're going to be about as we grow and we move ahead. You'll see some colorful things painted on the back wall. Core values of Rockcliffe. Guiding points to help bring us back to a place, grounding us back into what God has called us to. You'll see breakdown of the definitions in there so you can follow through on what it expands on. But we really believe that as a Christian in Christ, what we say and what we do needs to line up. And as a Christian, found people find people. Are you witnessing to someone right now? If you're not witnessing to someone, can I just simply say there's an area to call you a little higher? Because we're all called to that great commission, and the world is dying around us. Every day, there's someone dying in our region. And a lot of them don't know Christ. Number two, growing people. Someone say that word loud for me. Growing people change. If we're not changing, if we're singing the song, I shall not be moved, we're not growing. And as Christians, we're called to grow. We're called to grow. We're called to be stretched. I tell you, last week, that was hard for me. Oh, put me in an altar and say, hey, Phil, we need a word from God. I'll wait on God. I'll hear from him. I'll pray. But for me to randomly sit for hours in my office and write words down with scriptures, pin them to a cross, and hope somehow, some way, each person that comes to take a message, it's going to be the message they need. Oh my goodness, that's going a little beyond what Phil's comfortable with. But at the end of the day, I want to grow. I don't want to do church as normal. I don't want to just do life as normal. I want to grow. And so, and for me to grow, I got to be willing to change. It's not business as usual, right? It's not business as usual. We want to hear Holy Spirit and come in alignment with them. Save people, serve people. If we call ourselves a Christian, Christian means Christ in me. And Christ said with a loud, resounding voice, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. So here at Rockcliffe, we believe with everything inside of me that save people, serve people. Next one is, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive him. No matter what it is, no matter what's going on in your life, you cannot outgive God. And the last one is, you can't do life alone. Why? Because we're better together. Next is all the statement of fundamental beliefs. That's what we believe. I encourage you to look at it. I'm not sure how many people have ever seen it, but it's there for you. So I encourage you to grab that. You'll find out how our finances are handled on page 17. And that here at Rockcliffe, we have nothing to hide. We have nothing to hide. And in that part is you'll know that when we come to our annual business meeting, as we share with you and help you understand who we are, where we're at, how things are run. The next page is the designated gift policy. It's just a policy we got to have. Red Cross got themselves in trouble when, remember when the tsunami hit Japan? Well, Red Cross, they called across Canada and said, hey, we need, don't quote me on the numbers, I can't remember the numbers, but it was something like, we need $14 million for everything that we want to do, and $20 million came in. So all of a sudden they had this surplus of money that they didn't know what to do with. Because everything that they needed to do, they had already finished. But because they didn't have this policy, they were locked in that they had to spend that last $4 million or whatever it was. They spent it on things that really were wasteful. Because they were locked in with it. Because everyone gave to the tsunami in Japan. Another crisis came up. They had finished what they needed to do there. Another crisis came up. But they weren't allowed to take that money to put it over there because they didn't have this policy. So now we have a policy. So you can read that so you can understand. Next page is the leadership structure, just how things flow at Rockcliffe. You flip over, it talks about the roles of the board and the pastor. It's a great thing to read over. Why? Because there's some people sitting here today, you're going to get approached in the next week or so to say, hey, your name has come across the plate as possibly serving on the board. And you might be saying, wow, what does that mean? Well, now you'll know because it's written in here. So let's flip quickly to page 23. Needed in every church body. I don't want to say much about it other than I want to say this. And that the gifts are not a Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada thing. Can we hear me on that? The gifts are not something just because we're a PAOC church. The gifts are needed in every church because it's scriptural. It's not a POC, oh, well, we like this and we want to do this. No, it's a scriptural thing. And so that's what you'll see in your breakdown of what those scriptures are and where you'll find them. The next pages, again, are just the membership class that we're going to go through. To help understand. And then the last page is the membership covenant. It's the membership covenant of saying, hey, I believe this is my church and I'm so excited. Now, we're not asking our members that are members already. We're not asking you to sign that at all. We're giving it to you so you can understand what's happening and you can understand where we're going so that every new person that says, hey, I'd like to know Rockcliffe. I'd like to know what's going on. I feel like God's calling me here. This is the booklet they're going to get. And this is the class. We're going to walk through this class with them to help them understand this so that they can understand who we are and where we're headed. And so I just encourage you with everything inside of me. Encourage you with everything inside of me. Employ. Everyone is needed in this day ahead. If you have a struggle with something in the booklet or struggle with something that's happening, come and talk to us. Everyone's needed. And for what God is doing ahead, this is what God placed on my heart, and I've challenged the leadership with this, and I'm going to say it here, is that this season we're about to walk into, and that is a time where we need to just get things put back together, foundation together, preparation for what's about to come. And God's put it in my heart, if we don't get this ready now, we're not going to have time to get it ready later. We're not going to have time to get it ready later. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that just need adjustment to. And we're going to talk that at our annual business meeting so that we can get together, we can move together, we can grow. And until we get those things in place, it's pretty hard for us to spin our wheels. It's pretty hard for us to get forward. And that I'll explain all of those things when we get to our annual business meeting, but I am trying to stress that part. It is incredibly important. Maybe you're saying, I've been a member forever, but I don't go to those things. I'm asking you to come. Come to one. Come to this one. Amen? Come to this one so that you can understand a little bit better where we're going, some of the things that we need to look at and adjust as we move ahead. And so please, hear me again. February 26th, after our morning service, we're having a potluck. Potluck means you bring enough for you or your family and for one more. Amen? So we learn to share, right? So we're having a potluck after our service on the 26th, and then we're coming back into here for our annual business meeting. So I encourage you, make a point not to go to Florida for that day. You'll have more fun here than you will in Florida, okay? All right? Amen? We are better. So again, I'm putting out a lot of stuff because I'm hoping to hear some feedback. I'm hoping to have conversations. Why? Because we don't want anyone sitting in our pews and that for more than 6 months and not connecting. Amen? Because you're too valuable, his kingdom's too valuable, and there's too much at stake. And so I just encourage you, ask any questions you need to ask, and that as we grow and we move ahead, because we are better together. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now, God. Thank you, Lord, in the midst of lots of things being shared. God, Lord, I pray that you would just help sift through the things and you would help us to glue and stick together. We know we can't do it on our own because, Lord, we divide every day over someone like in this team or someone like in that team, whether someone fishes or someone hunts or someone that hates those things. God, Lord, we have 1,000 reasons not to come together. Color of hair, male, female, whether we like country music or we don't. God, there's a million reasons why we should never, ever be able to connect together. But yet, we have one common thread inside all of us. And that's the fact that we were lost without you. And Jesus, you are the thread. You are the glue that holds us together. So I pray, Holy Spirit, you would just come. You would move past my words in my attempt to put down what you've asked me to put down, my attempt to share what you've asked me to share. If I've said something I shouldn't, Holy Spirit, would you just cause divine amnesia to anyone that needs to not hear that? And God, Lord, that you would just cause a moment that we could actually have a communication together. So God, Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you that the days ahead are even greater. So what you said, in the last days, you're going to pour out your spirit on all flesh. And you said in the last days will be greater than the former. And our former days were great. As we look back, we can rejoice a million times over on what you have done through Rockcliffe over this past 100 years. And we will rejoice over that. But God, today's today. And there's something unique and special you're trying to line up and you're trying to do. And you don't want anyone to be missed. You don't want anyone not to connect. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just help us in the days ahead as we grow together as a family, as we grow as one, that it will be in spirit and in truth, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen, amen. No, we love you very much, and we are excited about what God is calling and leading us in. So I encourage you to take the booklet home. Don't leave it in the pew. And if you want any, have any questions, again, my number is 519-373-3560. That's my cell number. You can call me, and that text work really well for me. You can set up a time that we can sit down and we can walk through things. Or if you want to come, we're going to have information time. We're going to walk through things. We're going to have question and answers in one of our services coming up here that you can ask anything about the church, the Christian life, or the Word of God. And we're going to put all the leadership on all the board and that on the spot, that they're going to be like, oh, trying to answer these things. But we're going to do our very best because we believe that we're better together. God bless you. We love you lots. If you have a prayer need that you'd like someone to pray with you, then I encourage you to come, and our leadership team will make their way up and they will pray with you. Don't forget for the, I can't remember what team I'm meeting with this week. The Sharing Storehouse. If you want to meet me into the side room, I'd love to meet with you first.